Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Here we have Nick Prado. Do you see a spot where we could put Nick Prado? I think there's a very special spot we can put him in. That's right. The square hole. Good morning, afternoon, evening to all the wonderful ladies, gentlemen, and everyone else listening. This is the Royal Deluxe Podcast, a podcast bringing you breaking news and analysis of the Kansas City Royals every Monday and Friday. It's Monday. I did it. I did it, guys. I had a Friday episode on time. I have a Monday episode on time. I even did a Saturday episode just to give you a little something extra because it frankly had very little to do with the Royals and it was just more of a passion project. But it's still content and that counts in my book. Maybe people like reading other different books though. But I'm still happy with myself. I'm still proud of myself getting this podcast back on track. We're back to Mondays and Fridays, baby. Especially, sorry, little burp, because this is the last episode of the Royal Deluxe Podcast. Until opening day, baby! Let's go! Opening day is this Thursday. Regular season is starting this week. So the next time we speak to each other, we're going to have a regular season game being played. We will talk about the first game of the season on Friday. Not going to it this time. That will be a first for the Royal Deluxe Podcast. I have been to the last two opening days in a row. Not going to this one, though. Sorry. I mean, this year I'm just like, even though I'm more excited for the team, I have less of an incentive to go to opening day because they're doing the Bobby Bobble again. They're running it back, which I respect and I appreciate. Last year, Royals gave away a Bobby Bobble on opening day. They said they gave out 30,000 Bobby Bobbles. They're like, we want everyone in KC to be following the Royals. We want people to really keep up with this team. We've got this youth movement right here. They brought the full powder blues for that game. Zach Greinke on the mound. They're like, we're doing everything in our power to encourage people to come out to the game. We want people to see these young players. We want to see them fight. We want to see them compete. And we want people to really be on board. And it worked. They sold that bitch out. It was super hard getting in and out of Kauffman Stadium on that day. Really making me woke, if not, I wasn't already, to the fact that it is not this logistical haven of transportation. Good old Truman Sports Complex. And the Royals lost 2-0 and recorded 2 hits total. So that looking back, that was really reflective and indicative and symbolic of that entire season. I'm like, man, I'm so glad they gave me a Bobby Bobble, because I was not gonna be. That was at least that made it worth going to, because frankly, that was one of the maybe the most boring game I ever attended in person. Woof. So I'm glad that they realized, okay, last year totally fell flat on their faces when they tried doing that. And also they had a MJ Melendez bobblehead in the second game of the season. I don't think they're doing that again this year. I don't think they're doing another bobble giveaway on the second game of the season. But they are at the very least like, hey, let's do the thing we did last year. Do the Bobby Bobble for opening day. Let's just take a mulligan and retry the strategy. Get people in once again. And this time we've got all these new, you know, we've got all these free agents and stuff, which is another reason why I thought that, like, Michael Walker or Seth Lugo was going to be the opening day starter at first. Just to be like, hey, guys, look, we spent money on the team. Are you happy now? Yay! But instead, it's Cole Reagans, and that's awesome. But I myself, I'm like, eh, I could go to opening day, but I've got a Vegas trip around this time next month. So I am in minimal spending mode. I apologize, Royal. We'll see each other again soon, and hopefully I won't crash my freaking car this time. Anyway, that was just a small opening day rant. I didn't even really finish the intro. Once again, this is the Royal Deluxe Podcast. I am Lux, at least that's what I keep telling people. If you want to know my real name, at the MFNKC on Twitter, keep up with me and whatever I'm doing on there. And if you don't care at all, at Royal Deluxe Pod on Twitter, that is the podcast Twitter where we make more regular updates and commentary about the Kansas City Royals over there. That will at least happen a lot more as we start to play some actual games. Oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. I'm excited for everything. And also, Fans First Sports Network, that's the network we are part of. Thank you very much for having us once again. And farmtofountains.com, that's where I occasionally drop some written nonsense. But a lot of other people also work on that website. And they're a lot smarter and more talented and better than me. So go check out their stuff over there as well. So, there isn't a whole lot to talk about anymore, because spring training is over. It is Ikuyover, ladies and gentlemen. The Royals have finished with an even 13-13 record. I like that the social media account was kind of laughing at it. They're like, all right, guys, y'all said we got to save some wins for the regular season. So here you go. We're going to start tying games. We're going to start losing games. So, yeah. So are they good in spring training? Are they not good? They have the same record as the A's and the Mariners. What does that say? Nothing, probably. So spring training is over. The Royals will be off mostly for a while. They do have a game Monday, which is today, incidentally, where they are going to Northwest Arkansas to play against the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, which is the AA affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. That's what they're going to do. They're going to beat up a AA team. They might bring in some AAA guys. Like, I remember, I think they do this, like, maybe not every year, but at least every few years. I remember they did an Omaha game in 2019, and they had, like, Khalil Lee on the roster, on the AAA roster, even though he actually played in AA that year. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he was in AA that year. Remember Khalil Lee? Oh, boy. Wow, did that turn out to not be anything. So we might still see some AAA guys, or maybe guys that are going to start in AAA but played in AA last year, something of the sort. But it is what it is. It's just a fun little exhibition. Royals go over there and get to, you know, show the people of that town the actual team that, you know, you're kind of sort of rooting for in this weird roundabout way. I kind of wonder what it's like to be in a town that has a minor league baseball team. Do people like really care about that and therefore care about the parent team? Like, do people like Omaha not, wait a minute, Omaha has Royals fans and also was mentioned in Better Call Saul, right? Wasn't that a thing? I didn't watch all of that show. I just remember that being a thing for a brief minute. Maybe people would have cared more if the Royals were more relevant. So that's all the Royals have this week until we get to opening day. So, yeah, it has really fast approached. For me personally, this month of March has gone super fast, lightning fast. So, yeah. And like I said, not too much new to talk about aside from the final roster moves that the Royals have made at the end of spring training. So, the roster is finalized. It is set. We have our 26 players going to Kansas City. We've talked about them a lot on past episodes, but now we know for sure. The rotation we already knew was set. Cole Reagans, Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, Brady Singer, Alec Marsh. The bullpen was 90% complete. We had 7 out of 8 guys finalized. Will Smith, Chris Stratton, Jordan Lyles, James MacArthur, Nick Anderson, Angel Zerpa, and John Schreiber. It was just that 8th guy, that final bullpen spot. Wasn't sure who was going to make it, but they announced it's Matt Sauer, which makes sense. It makes the most sense. Matt Sauer is the Rule 5 guy, even though technically by the numbers there were maybe better candidates like Sam Long and Walter Pennington. But Matt Sauer is the Rule 5 guy. He's a use him or lose him type of situation. We either put him on the opening day roster or we give him back to the New York Yankees. And like I was saying in that past episode, I didn't think there were enough reasons to not have Sauer around. So I like that the Royals are kind of taking this risk right here. They're kind of taking this gamble. They're just saying, yeah, we'll go with it. Especially because long-term, Matt Sauer has starting upside. So I talked about this as well. I feel like I'm already just repeating a lot of stuff that I've said. But because, like I said, not too much news going around. Not too much to break down and analyze for this episode. So this one's going to be a bit of a shorty. Oh boy, we're going to have a 30-minute episode this time around. That's rare. Usually I talk way too much. Now I have to find things to talk about. Anyway, Matt Sauer, he was a starter in the Yankee system, and I think the Royals will still lean into that upside, and I think that's overall why they want to keep Sauer around. They'll have him in the they'll have him in the bullpen, of course. I don't think they'll seriously consider him as a starter this year unless he like really breaks out. If this is like a Brad Keller type of situation where he's just immediately one of the best arms in the bullpen and they're like, oh, we can make this work, actually. Although, granted, Brad Keller was also extended as a starter in 2018 because the rotation that year was awful. I mean, our ace, supposedly, was Jacob Junis. Come on. Danny Duffy wasn't good. Ian Kennedy wasn't good. Jason Hammel wasn't good. Who was even the 5th starter going into that season? I don't even remember. Did we have 5 starters that year? Doesn't really matter, but point is, Royals had like nothing back in 2018. Nowadays, they do. Oh, Heath Fehlmeyer or Eric Skoglund. Yay. That instills a lot of confidence. Yeah, 2018. What a year, right? So, like I said, back then the Royals didn't have a lot of options, so they were just taking whoever they could. I don't think they're going to be in such a desperate situation this year unless things go catastrophic, in which case you can't even really fault the Royals for all of that. If the Royals have 5 injured starters or whatever early on and by June or something, then it's like, well, nothing could have prepared any team for this, frankly, and therefore Matt Sauer gets to start games and is maybe the best pitcher on the roster now by a process of elimination. Hopefully that won't happen. I would really like it if that didn't happen. But still, all the best to Matt Sauer, hoping the best for him, hoping he sticks this roster. I do want to believe in him as well. And like I said, 2025, that starting pitching battle is going to be pretty intense and pretty fun to follow along with all of the candidates that we have, just as it is right now. No one said they can't add more later. So the pitching staff there was completely set, and then we had one spot for all position players, just all position players in particular. Or maybe it was two. No, it was a couple of spots. It was a little bit weird. It was a little bit of a fluster cuck. But they announced they made a big announcement pretty like soon after I put out the episode on Friday, and it's that the Royals optioned Nick Pratto to AAA Omaha. So, yeah, Nick Pratto did not make the roster, and I kind of feel bad for him, because even by the Royals' own admittance, I think it was either Piccolo or Quatrero, who said, like, yeah, he did everything he possibly could this time around for this spring. Like I said, Nick Prado has the highest OPS on the team. He has been the best hitter on the team in spring training. So, I don't really know. And then a little later, the Royals also announced that Nick Lofton and Dairon Blanco have made the roster. So they are in. So the position players, the 13 position players we have are Salvi, Fermin, Pasquantino, Bobby Witt Jr., Nick Lofton, Michael Garcia, and Adam Frazier. I wrote them down in the infield column. And then the outfield will be MJ Melendez, Nelson Velasquez, Kyle Isbell, Hunter Renfroe, Dairon Blanco, Garrett Hampson. Lofton and Velasquez were kind of the two uncertainties. And this does mean something happened. Michael Massey disappeared. What happened to him? He's on the IL. But the Royals still say, he's on the IL with lower back tightness. That's what it is. So he might, that it seems like that announcement is going to come on Monday, because Annie Rogers of MLB.com, who always does great work, as usual, has said that that's when players can start going on the IL. So that starts on Monday. So and they haven't actually even shut him down necessarily. It's just a little bit of a flare up, I guess. And honestly, I almost want to believe that they're just kind of doing this just to make room on the rosters. I mean, I guess they could have just simply optioned him, but I don't really think they see this as a long term thing. I think Michael Massey will be up fairly soon. But in the case of Nick Prado. Right. Nick Prado is a very difficult situation for the Royals because there wasn't much of a spot for him on the roster. I do acknowledge that. But the way they talked about it, that's basically the excuse they use. They're like, we don't have a spot for Nick Prado, and therefore we can't really give him regular everyday at-bats. But I'm going to be that asshole cynic about this and say that you had a spot for Nick Prado. The way I see it is, if you have a good hitter, you can put him in the lineup. You can figure out how to make this work. I mean, look at the Philadelphia Phillies. The Philadelphia Phillies stacked their roster with all these designated hitters and corner outfielders and first basemen, and they managed to make it work. All right, that's a team that has been really good for the past couple of seasons, even though everyone looked at this roster and was like, no. This is stupid. This is ridiculous. Nope. They found a way to get all these hitters to stay in the lineup at the same time. All right. If you have a good hitter, you should just simply be able to figure out how to get him in the lineup. If you have a good hitter that's not getting everyday at-bats, you built your lineup wrong. And I think the Royals are just simply not admitting that the Garrett Hampson and Adam Frazier signings were mistakes. I'm already kind of conducting this hate train against these guys, and Nothing like, you know, personally against them or anything, and not that I want them to not succeed or anything. I do want Garrett Hampson and Adam Frazier to succeed, because if they succeed, then they make the Royals a better team. So if they are good in the regular season, I will eat some crow, okay? And I have definitely been wrong many times, and I will admit when I am wrong. I was wrong about Alec Marsh. At least so far, I have been wrong about Alec Marsh. But the truth of the matter is, the Royals spent $4 million on Garrett Hampson and Adam Frazier put together. They're not going to go into, you know, opening day saying, oh, never mind, let's just, you know, scratch off these contracts. Let's just get them out of here because Nick Prado is hitting well. They're not going to do that. They have to just kind of stick with these guys until they're given clear, definitive reasons to remove them, essentially. So, you know, Garrett Hampson and Adam Frazier, I'm already looking at, like, May DFA candidates if they're not good. Or who knows, maybe it's earlier than that. Maybe it'll be earlier than that, because frankly, their salaries are not very high. So it's not like the Royals, I think, feel a lot of pressure to keep them on the roster. Not quite like, you know, Hunter Dozier last year. But ultimately, that's the reason why I think Nick Prado hasn't made the roster, because Frazier and Hampson are right there. And they're just taking up a couple of spots that, you know, would have been better suited to Prado, because I think Prado is a better hitter than them. Now, I will say that my logic here is not completely perfect, because even though I am saying, oh, hey, Nick Prado was hitting super well in spring training, you also do have to wonder, like we always have to talk about this, beware of the small sample sizes and beware of the fact that spring training is lower competition right there. Nick Prado has been hitting very well off of AAA and maybe even AA pitchers and some MLBers. But it does matter. It does mean something that, you know, spring training is not this fully, it's not the highest level of baseball competition. I did think it was impressive that he had that he was overall the best hitter on the team, you know, regardless of the competition. But still, it is worth mentioning. And there could still be a problem with Nick Prado and his approach at the plate. Like, will Prado actually, you know, hit this well, this consistently for a full season, for 500 at-bats? There's nothing to really suggest that. And he's been hitting the ball a lot. He's been hitting the ball really well without striking out so much. That was obviously like the big thing for him throughout his short MLB career, throughout the times we've seen him at the MLB level. Prado just striking out like 40% of the time. That was his thing. And in spring training, it's only at, where's the spring training numbers? 19%. So that's pretty cool. But it also does mean that because he's hitting the ball so much, he's not really walking a whole lot, and we do kind of need him to get that plate discipline up. I did say that it probably didn't matter too much because he's, you know, he's not walking because he's just hitting, and I think I'd rather have that, but I also understand. But like I said, it's all about approach. What he might have done, what he did might have worked really well for spring training, but is it going to work against actual MLB-level competition consistently? And, you know, I was always saying his numbers aren't going to, you know, hold throughout the season. He's not going to be a 236 work-plus hitter for the entire season. He's not freaking Barry Bonds right there. He's a contact heavy hitter who also strikes out a lot and maybe doesn't walk a whole lot. He's almost looking like Salvador Perez at the plate, frankly. And, you know, maybe for Salvi it can work because he's a catcher and the defensive utility of the catcher position is more important than the offensive output, even if Salvi's defensive output is not very strong. Well, we won't get into that. But anyway, Nick Prado is a first baseman or corner outfielder. And so, you know, there is lots of reason to question what he is doing and if it will actually hold up. Plus, there is the argument that he just doesn't play the outfield very well and has to work on that. Okay, that's also a little bit fair. I mean, in that regard, I'll say it didn't stop them from doing that with MJ Melendez for the past two seasons. But which just means that, yeah, they could have just let this work out if, you know, Garrett Hampson and Adam Frazier weren't on the roster. I mean, I can see why they optioned Prado. Like, there are reasons for it, and there are some legitimate concerns. I get it. I just still don't like it. I think it's a little bit weird. I think the Royals messed up a little bit. I think they signed a few too many guys. And I think Prado kind of, like I said, like Matt Quatrero said, did everything he could to make the opening day roster. And just, he just wasn't allowed to. And on the other hand, on this podcast, I've been expressing my concern with Nelson Velasquez because he has not had a very good spring training. But the Royals still want to believe in him. They're gonna keep moving forward with him. So like I said last time, it seemed like it was a bygone conclusion that Velasquez was on the roster, and yeah, he is. They have kept Nelson Velasquez on the roster, even though his spring training numbers have been pretty bad. But in his defense, and Annie Rogers has interviewed him herself, and he actually said that like his goal for spring training was just to simply have quality at-bats. It wasn't necessarily about the numbers. It was just kind of the process, I guess. And, you know, small sample sizes as usual, but he does have an 11.4 walk percentage in spring training, which he's never really posted. He had maybe a brief stint in AA baseball in 2022 where he had a 14.9% walk rate in 94 plate appearances, and 12% in his rookie ball league where he had 125 plate appearances. So essentially, Nelson Velasquez has never been an 11% walk kind of guy. Now, again, the small sample size and lower competition, will that actually hold up? throughout the regular season? Probably not, but it does signify progress. That's what I like saying about spring training more than anything. It signifies progress. He is taking walks. He is kind of waiting on pitches. He's not just swinging and aiming for the fences all the time. He's just kind of, you know, laying back and changing his approach. So, you know what? It's almost like the reason why Nelson Velasquez is, how should I say this? The reason why Nelson Velasquez has made the roster despite not having a good spring training is also why Nick Prado didn't make the roster despite having a very good spring training. It's about the approach. The Royals like what they're doing with Nelson Velasquez. They believe in him. And you also do have to give them credit. In the regular season, Nelly has hit and Prado has not. That's just how it is. I can't fault the Royals for believing in these things and not just specifically, oh, here's what they're doing in spring training, you know, this lower level of competition. Nairon Blanco, though, he made the roster. I didn't really think that was going to happen, but I did think he deserved it, so good for him. Congratulations, Nairon Blanco. I think it's really cool. I'm sure he's only going to be used, you know, as like a fifth outfielder, as, you know, a late game defensive backup or speedster, you know, a tear and score kind of guy. But that's a role that he fulfills, and that's a useful role for a Major League Baseball team. So, congratulations to Nairon Blanco. I'm happy to see that the Royals did that. And they have Nick Lofton, who's another guy that has done basically everything possible to make sure he can get on the roster. Nick Lofton has been one of the best hitters in spring training for the Royals. And in general, like, he was already at the Major League level, and he was a dog at the end of last season. So it seemed hard to believe the Royals would, you know, leave Nick Lofton off the roster. It was just a question of, like, what are they going to do with Michael Massey, because that's another guy that was hard to envision not making the roster, and I guess that's an issue that sort of sorted itself out in an awful, kind of cruel way. I mean, Michael Massey will be back, so it's fine. I'm not, like, too worried about him. I wish both of them were on the roster, and that we didn't have Garrett Hampson and Adam Frazier, but Nick Lofton is around, so good for him. I'm sure that Nick Lofton will be still have some kind of everyday role. He'll probably move around a lot. I actually think he's just going to be the regular second baseman until Michael Massey comes back. When Massey comes back, I don't know what the Royals are going to do. I'm not sure who they're going to send down. They'll probably Nairon Blanco, to be completely honest with you, unless Velasquez is looking really bad, and then they're like, oh, maybe we should have taken his spring training numbers more seriously. I kind of doubt that'll happen, though. I hope it doesn't happen. I do believe in Nelson Velasquez, for what it's worth. I know I was kind of critical of him on, like, some past podcasts, but I do believe in him, and I'm, you know, hoping the best with him, and I'm hoping that, you know, he was just doing things differently in spring training. He was just tweaking a little bit. He was just changing the approach a little bit, so that's fine. But Nick Lofton, yeah, should be on the roster, and he is. Yay! Oh, Drew Waters, by the way, is evidently not making the roster, which isn't too surprising, because Drew Waters, a big issue with him has always been strikeouts, and honestly, just the competition, I think, was too stiff. You know, he didn't have a given guaranteed outfield spot this season, and yeah, the Royals maybe just have better options moving forward. It is unfortunate, because Drew Waters is another guy that I really believe in, and I really like him. And it would, you know, really suck if this guy that the Royals traded a draft pick for didn't pan out. You know, at first we were looking at that trade and we were thinking, oh man, this is like a total steal right here. Good job, Royals. And then it's like, oh, well, this is unfortunate. But hopefully there's still lots of time for things to turn around for Drew Waters. So hopefully that will happen. And yeah, and Austin Nola was optioned. That was obvious, you know. Just wasn't very good, and Fermin was the incumbent backup catcher. So it is what it is, and I'm sure Nola will kind of be up if or when someone gets injured or whatever. So yeah, that's the roster. That is it. That's what the Royals have done. Now there is one other thing that has happened that we should talk about, which is that Michael Wacha might be hurt. Oh. Yeah, so Sunday the Royals played an intra-squad game, so they just kind of did like a little team scrimmage, I guess, and yeah, he fielded a comebacker, I guess, and got hit on the hand with it and exited the game. So Rogers did mention that the Royals seem optimistic. They're going to get an x-ray. We'll find out what the deal is today, actually, after this podcast goes up. But if the Royals seem optimistic, then hopefully it's not too bad. And hopefully, maybe they just took him out of the game as like a precaution and stuff. If Michael Wacha goes to the IL, that would definitely be really unfortunate for the Royals. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But you know what? In a worst case scenario, if he does go to the IL, that's why the Royals brought in all these different pitchers. That's why they brought in these two. Well, they didn't bring in like so many starting pitchers, but they still brought in two, and it really helps a lot. So at least if If Wacha goes to the IL, the Royals have options, even if those options are Jordan Lyles or Daniel Lidge or even stretching out Matt Sauer. It's still better than whatever they tried last year, which was essentially nothing. So it won't be the end of the world, fortunately. But it would definitely be unfortunate and kind of awkward, because we would really like to have that guy be good this season. And that's it. That's all I got for you today, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Short and sweet. Just a few minutes to talk about the roster, because the roster was finalized, and yeah, that was it. I have no further thoughts about it, so I think I'm just going to call it here, and I'll see you on opening day. Remember, this season, I don't think it's going to be amazing for the Royals. If I haven't already made this clear, I think I have. Yeah, I did my predictions episode last year. I don't think the Royals are going to have like an amazing season. A lot has to go right. So much has to go right that for that to happen, that I just can't in good faith say that the Royals will like definitely be a great team this year. I also don't think that this is going to be the peak year. I think they're still building, and they will continue to get better over time. So just before this regular season begins, I want to put it out there. I think the Royals will go 76-86. That's how I think they'll go this season. For some, that might be disappointing, but let me remind you, the Royals have not won 75 games since 2017. And in case you're wondering, they are the only organization in baseball where they get the dishonor of saying that. They are the only team in baseball that has not had a 75-win season since 2017. And you know, 2020, I get there, we didn't have 75 games played, but winning percentage, based on that, it would have been like 63-93 or something. I don't know what exactly it was, but they wouldn't have been a 75 win team in 2020, most likely. I mean, if they were calling up Chris Bubich and Carlos Hernandez from single A ball, yeah, I don't think that team was winning 75 games in the long run. So maybe for some that'll be a disappointment that, you know, the Royals made this big deal about bringing in all these free agents and then they only go 76-86, but that's still a massive improvement over last year. I don't know if you guys knew this, but the Royals were pretty bad last year. And even in the American League Central, it's not going to be that great of a placement. I really believe in the Tigers this year. I think the Twins will be about as decent as they were last year. You can never completely count the Guardians out either. So yeah, I think the Royals will probably finish fourth in this division. But like I said, once again, this isn't the peak. This will not be the best Royals season in... This will not be the best post-2015 Royals season for the entire... This will not be the best Royals season of the 2020s. That's what I'm trying to say. If it is, then, well, we had a lot more problems than, I don't know, just spending $100 million in free agency in one offseason or whatever we did. I still think that it'll be a fun season. It will be a watchable season. We'll get through this and we won't... I won't come on this podcast once or twice a week and just be like, I don't know what to do anymore, guys. I don't know what to say anymore. I can't do this anymore. It just ain't good anymore. It ain't worth it anymore. Nah, I think that we'll have lots to talk about every week, every weekend, and I'm looking forward to doing it with all of you. Some might take that inappropriately, and I apologize for that. But that's just how things go on the Royal Deluxe Podcast. So that's going to do it for me today. Thank you very much for listening to the Royal Deluxe Podcast. If you enjoyed it, if you appreciated it, or even if you didn't, leave a like, leave a rating, leave a review. It would help me out along the way. Tell me how to improve this podcast, or just tell me I'm great, or whatever. However you feel, I won't stop you. If you did enjoy it, I would encourage you to subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to this on so that you can get episodes delivered straight to your feed when they come out. Keep up with me and my shenanigans at the MFNKC on Twitter and also farmtofounds.com for some written content as well as written content from a lot of people who are much better at writing than me. And check out some other podcasts that are part of the Fans First Sports Network. Spoiler alert! Probably going to be collaborating with one of them in the coming weeks, so keep an eye out for that. I'll let you know when it happens. But at Royal Deluxe Pod, that's the Twitter for podcast updates and other Royals-based commentary, so check that out as well. If you don't do any of that stuff that I just encouraged you to do, no hard feelings. I love you all the same. Thank you very much for making the Royal Deluxe Podcast a part of your day, and I hope you're having a good one. Hope you have a good week. And I'll see you on Friday when we talk about the first Royals game of the season. Go!